It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, November 5th, 2010. I'm John Moe. This week, T-Mobile started advertising that it has the nation's largest 4G network. Meanwhile, Sprint, for a while now, has said it has the first wireless 4G network. Verizon's been talking up their 4G, too. Now, presumably, 4G is way better than the 3G network we've been using so far, because 4 is more than 3 by 1. But aside from that math, what does this all mean? Keith Winstein blogs about network issues, and he works at the tech company K-Splice. Keith, let's start here. What does G stand for?
Generation. You know, we used to have these analog car phones, you may remember, the old kind. That was the first generation. And they got digital in the 90s. We called that the second generation. In the late 90s, they had sort of a big push to have sort of fancier digital phones, smaller. They were called personal communicators. And that was sort of the third generation.
So now the fourth generation is arriving, except the international group that sets the standards for these things says, no, it's not. Glenn Fleischman of The Economist and BoingBoing.net, what's that group called?
The International Telecommunication Union Radio Communications Sector. It's an international group that helps provide the kind of glue that's necessary between all the different companies and countries so that they have some agreed upon standards and definitions for what they're working on. Just recently, they finalized a set of ideas that said a real 4G network needs to operate at 100 megabits per second from a moving vehicle, which is far beyond anything we have today, and at speeds of 1 gigabit per second from a fixed station, like in a house or a unit with an antenna on the roof. And that's pretty staggering. And what Verizon, AT&T, and Clearwire are delivering is nothing that fast.
So then is the takeaway, you know, every time you watch TV, there's stuff about the 4G network that's rolling out. That's just a lie?
At one level it is a lie. It's not a technically defined 4G network. It's going to be advertised as such. It is a next generation network. There are substantive differences between 3G networks and the marketing version of 4G that are good. For people today who have very poor broadband options in their homes, for those people, the 4G networks that are being deployed in the U.S. are so much cheaper. Verizon could put up one cellular base station with their version of 4G in a rural area and reach, you know, hundreds of square miles, where today's technology would give them a fraction of the reach.
That's Glenn Fleischman. So what they're calling a 4G network, whatever it actually is, may be better than the current system. But should that matter in picking a phone or a network? Again, Keith Winstein.
You're sharing those airwaves with everybody else in your city. So one thing that matters is just how many other people are you trying to share the airwaves with at the same time. Another thing that matters is how many towers has that carrier built in your city, and where's the nearest tower to you? You know, a third thing that matters is how sophisticated is your own cell phone. That's what the G's have to do with. How efficiently is it using those airwaves? That's maybe a lower thing down the list. The carriers like to focus on that because that's something you can spend money on. You can get another G and you can buy it, and it looks cool. Telling you that your cell phone is going to be faster because it's got 4G is like telling you, you know, your new car is going to get you to work faster because it's got a V6 engine. Sure,
right.
You know, having a fancier, more sophisticated engine is part of it, but a lot more goes into the equation, like how much traffic is there? How big are the roads? Look, here's the bottom line. Cell phones get better every year. If you buy a new cell phone every year, it'll probably be better than the one you got the last year. The G's are kind of a sideshow.
So don't sweat the G's.
Don't sweat the G's. We've loved and lost so many G's.
Ain't nothing but a G-thang, baby.
Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. If you're on Facebook and worried your eyesight is getting worse, it's not you. The site is experimenting with using a smaller font. They say it's to make things more efficient. And you no longer need an invitation to sign up for Hulu Plus. You just need $10 a month. Hulu Plus is like the regular Hulu.com site, TV shows and movies. It just has a lot more of them. Scientists in England have made a breakthrough in efforts to build an invisibility cloak. Yeah, like in Harry Potter. They use something called metamaterials that channel light flow. We ask listeners on our Twitter team how they would use an invisibility cloak.
A great use for an invisibility cloak would be to keep invisibility warm. You know, just something to cover his shoulders.
If I had an invisibility cloak, I would sneak up behind people wearing camouflage and yell, "I win!"
I'd use it to ride my bike really slowly and wobbly.
That's WJCSTP, Bureaucrat, and Axis of Philippe from our Twitter team. You can join the team, too. Just follow us at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.